My soul, for it's all I have done. This Jesus. let us know if you want to slow down or speed up.
Okay. Like, that one just needed to go
a little faster.
Scout, but that was good.
Okay.
I don't know how this works.
No, it's okay. So you want to do verse 4 and then the chorus at the end? Okay, so verse 4, then the bridge. And
verse
then the
4, bridge.
Bridge. Okay.
Chorus.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
The second?
No, the third.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's like not the second. Yeah, here.
Oh yeah, I stuck a little little up thing on there. That's what I did because I always miss that too.
Okay.
Worthy is a lamb who was slain.
Okay.
Worthy is a king.
Yep.
Okay, verse 4.
The rules of nation with truth and justice shines like a sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
What?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Okay, so verse. I did too. So verse 4, chorus.
Chorus, then bridge.
Bridge, chorus, chorus. Okay. Okay. Four again. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Who rules the nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
And then start with the verse.
Yeah. Okay, one, two, okay.
Yeah.
Or we can start with the verse, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know overcame the cross and grave and turned my soul. trust in you. With all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray your love will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I trust in you.
Chorus twice, bridge.
Okay, chorus twice. Okay, so.
Second time through the
chorus.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
I will live to love you. I will live to bring.
First two lines of the first verse, if you want to, or the Emily goes to the whole verse, but whatever you want to do. We've always gone. I've always gone to this the chorus, but it just sounds. It just flows in there to me, but from the bridge to the chorus, like you did. You want to do?
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to do the last second chorus, bridge, chorus,
first.
Okay. Okay.
I will leave. I will live to bring you praise. I will
amazing takes me home, trusting you.
Now I know what you're talking about, bridge into verse. Yeah, it's bridge into the first verse, sorry. No chorus.
Okay, so do you
want
to do that again now?
Yeah,
go from chorus to
Let's do the bridge into the verse. Ready?
Bridge
into the verse. It does. You're right. The chorus doesn't come next. You're right.
Okay, so we'll slow it down on the bridge. Okay. One, two, three. No, we're not going to do the chorus. We're going
to
do it. Guy's name, oh my goodness, let's see. It's easy to do once you know it.
Turn your eyes upon me.
justice and mercy embrace. That the Son of God gave His life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory.
Do you want to go through anything else again, or you're good? Okay.
Sorry, verse 4, are you playing the notes they have written, or are you playing the same? I don't know why they changed the notes.
I know, I don't either. I was playing the notes that they have there, but...
Okay. Well, they're all playing the same thing. It's all right.
Yeah, what were you doing, Dave? Dave, on verse 4, they put all different chords in there. Were you playing those? You are playing the chords, okay.
Yeah. I'm not playing the secondary chord behind it, you know.
No, okay, Mark's doing that, so okay. Can we go through that again? That last verse?
Verse 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's got all different chords in there. And this is 3/4 time. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Turn your eyes to the head. Our King will return for His own. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout. All the glory to Jesus alone. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our pride. Adore.
good, Dave? Okay. I gotta have him in this, or else I really messed up. Sounds good. You can do it.
Okay, so hold on.
I'm such an 80s child.
There, is that what you want?
Yes, thank you.
We're not doing 4 and 5.
Okay.
That's why this was here.
That's why that's stuck there.
One, okay. 2, 3.
Okay.
See this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then
all
here,
of them?
Here we're doing just as it is. Right. You know all these, right?
So, are we on? There we go. Huh? Morning.
Morning.
Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning. If you're at the foyer, we'd love to have you join us. It's really good to see you all this morning. It started out as kind of a cloudy morning. Now it's turning out to be a glorious day. It's awesome. So let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for that we can just come here this morning, that we can just come and worship you. Father, I pray, as always, that we hear from you this morning in worship and in the speaking of your word, Father, that your voice would be the only thing that is heard. And Father, I pray that we would just be able to lay our concerns, our cares, the things that are weighing our heart and mind this morning. Father, I pray that we just lay them at the foot of the cross this morning, that we just lay them at your feet and leave them there. And we just thank you that we have the opportunity and the ability to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing. Or you can sit, whatever you want.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy on my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, all my sins which were many are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy on my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm the death of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my dark clouds of doubt, now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
There's a lot of senses in there and I want to hold them all.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will
Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all
be a good day, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. Do you want to do that? Because it's sticky. I did you overcommit?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. To order, who makes the orphan a son or daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thank you. the greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. With all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. You are the voice that called the universe to me. The whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring. Child in awe of you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you.
Thank you, God, that you are who you are. Thank you that you've given us an opportunity to walk with you, to stand redeemed, that you paid the debt that we owe so that we could be in your presence. You redeemed your creation, and we are so grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear and death is gone, for we carry His life in our veins. Jesus, to You
this morning, God, that we would turn our eyes, that we would fix our focus on You. And we wait. We wait for Your direction. We wait for Your wisdom. We wait for the words. We wait for the mission. And we wait for You to come. Thank You, God. Thank you that You sent Your Son here to die for us. And then that You sent Your Spirit to indwell us, mm-hmm. to comfort us, to remind us of what is true. Let us fix our eyes on You, mm-hmm. and let us hold fast to the truth of who You are. Never changing, mm-hmm. yesterday, today, and forever the same. Thank You for that, just the confidence that we have because of You. Thank You, God. Amen. You may be seated.
Be able to get away last weekend. I went and watched Pastor Mike preach on our website, and it was awesome. He brought a good word last week. And, it was awesome to sit there and watch that. And, it was good. Juan and I got away to Homer. We celebrated 30 years marriage actually Monday. So it's crazy. We were sitting around and like, we're getting old. It's like our kids are getting old, so that means we're getting old. But it was really good, and had great conversations. I think people, you have these expectations when you get away and things like that, and it's like, oh, it's going to look a certain way, and then Father blows it up and makes it look totally different, and it's way better than you ever thought it was going to be. And we loved going to Homer, and it was a beautiful Saturday, and then Sunday we got up, and it was socked in and raining and beautiful in a totally different way. And so we drove, if you've ever been down to Homer, you drive up on Skyline or Diamond Ridge and Skyline, whatever it is, you get way up on the mountainside there, and you're up in the clouds, and it's got its own kind of beauty. The thing that cracked me up the most, though, is my wife gets lost in a parking lot, but she can find her way in Homer in the clouds. I don't know, because I was lost. She's like, I know exactly where I am. I'm like, really? All right. So it was good. She's giving me a dirty eye back there, but that's all right. it's awesome. It was, like I said, it was good to get away. It's nice to have Pastor Mike here on board and be able to cover those times and be very well assured that he's bringing what Father has laid on his heart. So we are continuing our journey through Philippians this morning. It was interesting when he talked about where he was going. He's like, well, you're jumping ahead in the book. But like, that's all right. I'll catch up. All right, so I know he preached out of Philippians too, but he started in verse 19. We're going to go back to verse 3 again. So we're going to read. We're going to catch up. I know we've covered this already, so I won't re-preach this. But I like reading things. As you know, I like things in context. I like to read things contextually. I don't like to jump in the middle of a thought. So we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, and it says this: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that's where we left off the 1st of August. That's we covered verse 6. So starting in verse 7 this morning, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense of the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. There's quite a few things in here this morning, but we're gonna go through some of this a little quickly this morning. But the thing that keep jumping out at me was all these words, all. You know, I love little words and the power of little words. Like we look at the big words, but these little words make a lot of difference when we're reading scripture. Because he just talked about how I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This assurance of this starting in our life of God's work in our lives. And we looked at that on the 1st of August. And then he continues on that we're going to look at this morning. It is right for me to feel this way about you, and these little words, all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. It is right that I feel this way about you all. Can we say that about each other? Do we, when we think about our brothers and sisters just in this room this morning, or the ones that there's a lot of us gone this morning out doing other things, and it's awesome. It's a beautiful summer day, fall day. I guess we're kind of into fall now, right? But it's the turn of it, right? But do we, when we think about our brothers and sisters, do we have Paul's heart where it's like, man, I feel this way about God. I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and my defense of the confirmation of the gospel. Now, to my knowledge, I don't know of any of you in the room this morning who have been put in prison for your faith. Is there anybody that I don't know of? You can raise your hand. Okay, that's what I thought. Right? So none of us have faced that yet, but I kind of have a feeling we might in the days to come. If the Lord tarries in the world doesn't have a massive revival, right? But are we thinking about that? But right now we can totally relate with the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. Do you face opposition when you try to talk to people about Jesus Christ? Or here's a bigger question: do you talk to people about Jesus Christ? I was here Thursday night. I hung out a little later than I normally do in the office, and this car pulled up And my immediate, maybe it's not a good thought, but my immediate thought is like, oh, somebody's coming for help, right? Somebody needs something. That's usually what happens. But this gentleman showed up, and he's like, so is there a Bible study going on tonight? And I'm like, oh, no, there's not a Bible study going on tonight. So we just had an amazing conversation in the foyer, and we were just talking about this kind of a thing. Do we have conversations with people? And he was talking about how he was in Anchorage not too long ago, where there was a gay pride thing going on, and the Christians on the opposite side of the street, and the Christians were all wearing red, and the gay pride were all wearing their colors. And he goes, "This is totally wrong." And he crossed the street and started intermingling with the gay pride people and talked to these four guys and said, "Just consider. I'm not trying to change your mind. Just consider. Please just consider when you put your head down on the pillow tonight, consider a relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you just do that?" And all four of those guys said, "Sure, we'll consider that." Oh, he crossed the line. He crossed the street. But isn't that what Jesus would do? And I was talking to a friend just recently about that. We've made this such a big issue. Are we picketing the people that are in our churches living in sin? What about that? Is that defense of the gospel? I mean, pick a sin. Why is the church not picketing all those? Why is it about this one area? Just a thought. I welcome your emails later. But I'm saying, we harp on this, and Paul's like, "Man, I'm thankful in your my heart about you all. You're partakers of me about this grace. Are we partaking in the grace of God, or is that just for those that are we deem to be the spiritual ones? So it's all about them. That doesn't refer to me, right? We should be living out this grace of God in all our interactions with the people that we come in contact with." And we know, if we've read anything about Paul and know his story, he's writing a lot of these books from prison. He's got a captive audience. They think they got him in prison. No, he's got them captive because they have to come and, you know, be at his guard, right? How many guardsmen do we know that gave their life to Christ that we don't know about because Paul was there, right? I think he's in some ways excited about this. He's got this captive audience. He goes on to say, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And I think we really need to hear that. Do we really yearn for each one of the people that you call brothers? Do you yearn for your brothers and sisters that you don't even know that are in other churches this morning that are around the world? Do you yearn for them and pray for them even though you don't know their name? Do you like, "Man, I yearn for you all. But I love it with what? The affection of Christ Jesus." It's not about our ability to love people. Because our love for people, most of the time, if we're honest about it, is conditional, is it not? We love people because, and maybe not, it may not be a conscious thing, right? I don't think we all walk around, "Well, I'm going to love my wife because, she cleans or cooks," or whatever it is that, whatever that thing is, right? That should never be our thought process, by the way, gentlemen, right? We should be loving, but I'm saying when we come to this place, like, look, I can tap into this, whatever it is, I can tap into this affection of Christ Jesus because I know his affection for people is perfect. When we walk into those situations that pushes on our stretches our thinking, that stretches our ability to, like, I cannot relate to this lifestyle choice or this way people are living, I can love on them with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it's going to be right. And I still believe that's what's going to change people's hearts and minds, is how we love them, not how we hate them, by the way. I don't see anywhere in Scripture in Jesus' ministry where he hated on people when they came to Christ. They came to him and said, "Oh, I want to be your follower because you hate me." Right? With the affection of Jesus Christ, man, I love that phrase. Then he gets into this, and it is my prayer, verse 9, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Again, it's easy to think about that kind of a thought when, Devon and I were having this conversation as we drove to Homer and back and in our time down there. How does your, 30 years in, and some of you guys, I know, been married a lot longer than that, I get that, but I was saying, but 30 years in, you'd think, it's like, man, you remember those first days of marriage, and, oh, you're so in love, and so awesome, and so small and shallow, right?
I mean, if you compare it to where you are, however long you've been married, is it your love should be a lot deeper and stronger, right? It should be abounding more and more. I think about the things my wife and I and family have walked through in the 30 years that Dawn and I have been together. I think about those things, the things that we have gone through. If I would have gone through at age 21, I'd be a babbling idiot somewhere. And there were lots of times I was that way anyway, right, wife? But I was saying the things, but you grow in this love and you grow in this relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you're able to walk through the things that come your way. I wouldn't trade the love that my wife and I have now for our early love, as fun as that was. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. And I watch people chase love every single week. I watch them chase love in the wrong direction, in the wrong way, in the wrong settings, and all those kinds of things. That breaks my heart because they're chasing false love. They're chasing false affection. They're trying to fill up a hole that we as believers in Jesus Christ have the answers to, not in and of ourselves, but in his word. And if we're living in this place where we are loving each other, that our love abounds more and more, is that an accusation, if you will, that could be leveled at the church today, or is it not? When I hear about stories like what I just gave you about that gentleman going into Anchorage and crossing the line, that tells me that this isn't happening. When all the social norms are on the rise in our nation, in our city here in Wausau, when all the social ills are on the rise, there's something wrong. I understand the world's getting darker and it's going to continue to get darker until Jesus comes. I get all that. But I'm still saying we should be having an impact in our world. We should be understanding, like, man, my defense of the gospel, my living out my life in front of this world who has no idea who Jesus is, should be paramount. And we should be putting ourselves in these positions to love on people, and first and foremost, love on each other, where we know that we're loved. And when we walk in the doors of this building, when we run into each other in a grocery store, man, it's just instantaneous connection. Is that not how it should be? People should be drawn to us. Like a magnet should be drawn to us, and they can't help themselves, but you just come talk to us. Because of who Jesus is in us. Is that our prayer, that our love may abound more and more? Flip over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Verse 12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. And I love that. And for all, it means every, how I see that, for all the people that aren't living for God. For all the people that have no idea who God is. For all the people that have no idea what it is to be loved like that. As we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. So this abounding in love is just not a feel-good thing. It's not just something small. This is so that our hearts might be blameless in holiness. There's a cause and effect here. When we step into this place of abounding love, when we step into this and praying for each other, that we have this kind of love for one another, and having this kind of love for the world, and not a touchy-feely, you know, God is love and so everything's okay. Not that kind of love. That's not what he's talking about. I mean real love, where you might have to have some hard conversations. And I know we're like, well, we're speaking the truth in love. I get that, but that can be abused too. We can use that as a stick to beat each other. The head. Well, I'm loving you in truth. Well, yeah, but you might be speaking truth, but I can't hear a word because it's not coming through the love at all. I can hear a lot of hard things that need to change in my life if I know you love me. I may not like it, probably won't like it. I'll probably say I don't like that. But if I know at the end of the day you love me, I'll hear. I pray that your love may abound more with knowledge and all discernment. With knowledge and all discernment. Flip over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Starting verse 9. So from that day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then drop down to chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, with which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after its creator. So this knowledge that Paul's talking about here in Philippians, and you may be abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. That discernment is a powerful thing. It's an important thing. And I understand there's giftings where I think some people have discernment comes a little easier. But I'm saying I believe all of us as children of God have the ability to discern the situations, the words that we're saying, the words that are coming at us, to discern the environment in which we walk into. I walk into environments every week where every single time before I go into those environments, I pray and ask, Father, am I supposed to walk into this environment today? And there's days I don't, because my heart's not right. There's days I have stuff on my heart and mind, or the discernment when somebody's speaking to me, man, it sounds like truth, but is it really? Is it really lining up with the Word of God? Because the enemy is coming at us, and he likes to speak things too, and it sounds like truth. It's easy to see when the enemy's speaking something that's a totally different thing, right? When you know it's one thing, and he's speaking, like, it's easy to see when it's that drastic. But when he's speaking, a lot of times it's just that much off. And it sounds like truth. But if you follow that path out, it's not at all. Discernment is a big thing. And I don't know as if, I know for a lot of times I was like, well, that's somebody else's gifting. And I didn't push into that discernment even in my own life. I mean, I did on some levels, but to really think about it and really push into it. And man, I'm created and to have the knowledge after the image of my creator. That really hit me as Father led me to that verse this week. It's like, I can have the knowledge after the image of my creator. Am I being renewed? Am I being transformed into his image every single day? Or am I just content with how I am right now? Am I content with how I love people? Am I content with the knowledge I have? Am I content with the discernment that I have? Or am I wanting all that Father would have? Because that's his knowledge and all discernment. So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So this discernment has a purpose, so that we may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless. Approve what is excellent. I think about that in the world in which we live a lot of times. Do we chase and pursue the excellence? I listen to people just in the work world and how excellence doesn't even seem to be on the, well, we can't get people to show up for one. It just blows my mind that we can't get people to do just a simple work. When every business that I see driving around the valley, everybody has a help wanted sign out. And if you can get them to work, if you can get them to show up, and this isn't anything new. I remember, it's been the last 5-10 years. Man, if you show up on time and you're not hungover, man, you're management material, right? When I started in the workforce a few years ago, you had to really work for that position. You had to show up on time. You had to push yourself out there. You had to be self-motivating. You have to, you know, really go above and beyond to, because there was lots of competition for that. People were chasing excellence. I definitely don't see that in the workflow. Well, what about our lives as believers? What about churches? And I don't even have all what this looks like, but do churches pursue excellence in the sense of are we putting out, are we living our lives in this place that is pure and blameless? It's not, you know, it's, and again, I don't think the world is looking for perfection from us. I think they're looking for honesty. Right? If you mess things up, own it. I think that's the biggest accusation that I've heard over and over and over again from people in the world. They're like, you Christians, one, you can't even agree. How many denominations are there? You guys can't even agree on your theology. Okay. Right? So I don't know how to answer that. Right? But I don't think they even have a problem with that if we could just like come together. And it's like, man, you guys, all we know about you is what you hate and what you're against, not what you're for and what you love. The last couple months, I've been working over at the food pantry and getting to meet other brothers and sisters who run other food pantries. And I've gotten to talk to a couple of them and just different things from social things. And it's like, I look back at the early church and when I read that and it says, and nobody had need for anything, right? And that's what Scripture says. But we have separated ourselves so much from each other. Well, they're not part of our denomination. They're not part of... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should just invite everybody and disagree with it. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not even beginning to suggest that, so please don't hear that. But I am saying if we can come down and break it all down, and we can have a foundational, this, we're about Jesus Christ, and we're about, you know, the virgin birth, and we're about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's the only way to heaven. And the two commandments, love God and love each other. Come on, right? What would the church look like if we did that? I mean, talking about the church as a whole. Do you not think there's a lot of firepower, you know, personnel-wise, financially, if the whole church got together and stopped separating? If we got to this point and we were just like, look, man, I'm going to prove what is excellent. Man, if something's being excellently done over here, I'm going to either get involved with that or I'm going to contribute to that or whatever it is, if it's having an impact. And if it's like I'm driving this place to where, man, this is impacting our communities. How are we impacting our communities with the light that's inside of us? So I'll tell you this morning, I don't want to be sitting around, and I'm not saying we're doing this, so I'm just saying this is Pastor Mark speaking from his heart this morning. I don't want to have Father come back and find him sitting around doing nothing. I'm not saying I'm doing that now, that we're not doing that. But I'm just saying I want him to find me working hard and exhausted in the sense of like, man, I'm following where he's leading me and I want to live a life. Am I going to do everything right? Absolutely not. But I want him to find my life pure. I want him to find my life pursuing the excellence that he has put in front of me. I want him to find me that my love is abounding more and more and getting deeper with my wife and my children and with all of you and the people that he puts into my life. Even if just for a moment, I may run into somebody that I haven't encountered with, like that gentleman that walked in last Thursday night. He came here for a Bible study. No, he didn't. He came to talk to me. He said things I needed to hear. And he kept apologizing for him. I was like, can you stop apologizing? Because Father sent you to talk to me. Verse 11, filled with fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Are we filled with the fruit of righteousness? Is that our pursuit? Or is our pursuit just a day in, day out grind of our lives and the things that are going on in our lives? I know there's so many in this room this morning that have big things in their life that are weighing them down and weighing on their hearts and minds. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, are we still pursuing righteousness? Are we still pursuing what Father would have us do and not get sidetracked by the realities of our lives? And I'm not saying that they can be ignored. I'm not suggesting that at all. But in the midst of those things, how are we pushing into those moments? When we're exhausted and we're tired and we don't have an answers to the questions we're asking. And we're asking over and over and over from Father and he doesn't seem to be talking to us. Are we still pursuing him anyway? Because he is talking. But this all comes through Jesus Christ. And again, I love over and over again, it all is because of him. It all is his strength. It all is power of God. It's all their stuff, not ours. We get to tap into this reality. We get to tap into this power. We get to tap into this place of reality. And when you step into that world and then you step out into the world that doesn't know him, it should break your heart. And I would dare say it must break our hearts. And when God gives us opportunities to drop those little seeds of truth and those little seeds of who God is in people's lives, that it's such a foreign concept to them. It's his job to do the work, by the way, not ours, which I'm so thankful for. Our job is just in the moment to be faithful and go, Father, you want me to say this? Say it. You don't want me simple things of, I was going somewhere this week and Father told me to change my t-shirt. As crazy as that sounds. I was wearing a t-shirt that has scripture on the back. He's like, take that off, put something on that has nothing on the back. He's like, that was the devil, not God. That's what I thought at first, right? And then he's like, no, son. I want to eliminate any barrier from someone coming and speaking to you so you have the opportunity to speak to them about who I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of wearing a Christian t-shirt that has a scripture on the back of it. I love wearing it. I wear it all the time. But are we willing to hear those moments? Are we willing to be in that place where I want to be so tapped into who Jesus is? One more scripture. Again, this righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. John 15. Very familiar passage of scripture. But I know I needed to hear it this week. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything. As I see it and hear it for me, I can't do anything of value unless it is abiding in Jesus Christ. If I try to operate outside that place, I'm not going to have this be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's not even going to be possible for me if I'm not abiding in Jesus Christ. I can't have this place where I'm abounding more and more in love. I can't be in this place of knowledge and discernment. I can't approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless if I'm not abiding in Jesus Christ. And I absolutely know the moments I am not abiding in Jesus Christ because I'm discouraged. I'm despondent. I can't hear anything anybody says. So if that's you, if that's resonating with you this morning, maybe we need to all go back to this place of checking and go, man, am I abiding in the vine or am I trying to detach myself? I think I got a better way. Try to grafting ourselves into a different vine that has no value at all. I believe we need to intentionally get to this place. It's not just going to happen organically. There's some intentionality that needs to take place. Definitely some intentionality in your pastor as I start in a it's not a new journey, it's just more intentional about plugging in and touching base with all of you more than I ever have before. Being willing to take things that have been part of my life, take them out even though they're great and amazing things. Put them aside for a while so I can focus on what needs to be focused on. It's easy to get rid of things that are destructive and evil, but it's another thing altogether to get rid of things that are having an impact and that are good. But what are we willing to do in our pursuit of this relationship with Jesus Christ? What are we willing to lay aside? What are we willing to give up in this place of abiding in Jesus Christ so that we can do something? Because at the end of the day, all I ever want to hear is two words. When I go home, well done. I don't want to hear anything else. At the end of the day, I don't care about anything. Have I screwed things up? Oh, absolutely. But at the end of the day, when I face my Father, yes, there will be things I have to answer for, but there, I want, above all things, to be like, yeah, but you accomplished a task that I created you for. We're all created to accomplish a task. Here in Philippians, this is not just my job, this is all of our jobs to impact our world. That is dying on a level I have never seen before. The pain that is outside these walls, within blocks of this building, there are people living in desperation. With no hope, no solutions. And no understanding that they are loved beyond their ability to comprehend. And all they feel is desperation and pain and hurt and abandonment and on and on and on and on and on. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, may we just be wrecked for you. May your words absolutely wreck us this morning. As we go through the rest of our day, Father, may we think about, first and foremost, where we are with you. where we are with our immediate family, where we are with those people influencing our lives. How well are we loving them? How well are we speaking about who you are and your life-giving words? We should have the sentiments of your disciples. You have the words of life. Where else would we go? So, Father, this morning, may we pursue your words of life and nothing else. May we unplug from the world and the things that are weighing on everyone's hearts and minds all the time, Father. May we unplug from that and plug into your truth and your life. And yes, we still have to live in this world, but Father, let's plug into your truth in the midst of the dark days that we're living in. And be a light. To be something worth catching. May we not be satisfied with where we're living right now. Father, only you know what that looks like for each one of us. So I pray that you speak, and I know you are. Father, more importantly, I pray that our ears are opened, that our minds are open to hear clearly, concisely, exactly what you're saying. And I pray against the enemy who's going to try to stop that from happening, because he doesn't want us to live in that place. So, Father, I just pray your blessing over your people this morning. We thank you beyond words for your love and for your words to us this morning.